Hello and welcome. It's our number two, of our radio program. And it's all about the NBA mixed with baseball and a surprise coming out of left field. Alex Rodriguez in position to buy an NBA team, but would he be an upgrade as an owner for the Minnesota Timberwolves? We will examine that story. Also, a mini Mallor monologue in hour two about Major League Baseball's broken replay system. The Phillies got a win against the Braves when their runner didn't even touch home plate, and they still went to instant replay and got it wrong. That and more coming your way here in hour number two.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Ben Mallor Show podcast. It's me, Ben. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. You can find your local station for the Ben Mallor Show over at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
An A-bomb from A-Rod to buy a team, but not a baseball team. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Mallor Show. We are in the air everywhere as we filibuster coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the flight deck, soaring on the red eye all night long. The Fox Sports Radio studios, hope all is well with you. We will get to the big controversy of the day in Major League Baseball, but we begin with a hybrid story involving the NBA and Major League Baseball. It is our lead this hour, and A-Rod is the story. And if you didn't see it, it took place over the weekend. Maybe you were actually out doing stuff and you didn't catch it. Maybe you missed it. Former baseball star, disgraced MLB star, Alex Rodriguez and a business partner, they have signed a letter of intent to buy the woebegone Minnesota Timberwolves of the NBA, $1.5 billion, according to Glenn Taylor, the longtime owner of the team, Glenn Taylor. He says that part of the deal means that the team has to stay in Minnesota. You're not allowed to relocate the franchise. Wink, wink. A-Rod is teamed with the e-commerce mogul Mark Lohr. You probably don't know who that is unless you follow CEOs. He was running Walmart's e-commerce division. There's a lot of money involved in that. And he did that job running Walmart's e-commerce because he founded Jet.com, and then Walmart purchased it. And so he got to run the show at Walmart, and now he's teamed up with A-Rod. There's a 30-day window to negotiate and have this be finalized. An army of bankers and bureaucrats are working to complete the transaction. And you've got accountants and attorneys from both sides who have to agree to everything, and then they can cross the T's and dot the I's, get approval from the NBA. So for the purposes of this Mallor monologue, let's assume the position that this happens, that A-Rod becomes an owner in the NBA. So let us discuss the question, would Alex Rodriguez as owner be an upgrade over Glenn Taylor if you actually give a rat's ass about the Timberwolves? So I'm shaking my head no. You can't see me, but I'm shaking my head no.
Nope.
I am. So my observations here, you've got Stopover, Robber Baron, and Mayflower. And we will lock all of these things together into an adequate Mallor monologue. Now, keep in mind, the Timberwolves haven't even really been adequate most years. Number one. So Alex Rodriguez's motivation is really the issue here. He has been thirsty to own a baseball team. You know that. I know that. Everybody knows that. And that's his specialty, right? He's a baseball guy. He wanted to snatch up the New York Metropolitans with J-Lo, but he got squeezed, the old squeeze play, by the hedge fund mogul Cohen, so A-Rod out, and now he's jumped into the NBA. You talk about coming out of left field. And he goes to the NBA with conditions. Essentially, the team is on layaway. And while A-Rod and his business buddy are going to buy the team, Glenn Taylor will keep control of the franchise for the next couple of years. A-Rod and his e-commerce BFF will be minority partners for the next 2 years. And then they get the deed to the Timberwolves in 2023. So essentially, this is all in a holding pattern. It is also, you have to think, just a stopover situation for A-Rod. This is not his dream in sports ownership. This is not the final destination. Now, what do I mean by that? A-Rod is wealthy. He's not rich enough to own a team outright by himself, so he had to partner up with the CEO formerly of Walmart to get an NBA team. He certainly is not rich enough to own an NBA team and a Major League Baseball team at the same time without major assistance financially. So what does that mean? It means A-Rod is going to have to eventually flip the basketball team to get his foot in the door with Major League Baseball, which is where he wants to be. That's assuming that baseball will even allow him in that fraternity. The good old boys club, right? The country club there. A-Rod spit a lot of loogies at baseball when he was doing all the steroids back in the day and lying about it. Now, the second thing, in the meantime, Alex Rodriguez getting a piece of the pie in Minnesota. It sounds fine on the surface. And when you ask the question, is Alex Rodriguez an upgrade over Glenn Taylor? The initial response would be, how could he be any worse? Under the ownership of Glenn Taylor, the Timberwolves have been the bottom of the barrel. So, and that's an understatement. They have the worst winning percentage in North American team sport. There's no one worse. Whatever you think the worst hockey team is, the worst baseball team, the worst football team, they all are better than the Timberwolves. They're at the very bottom. The very bottom. So the bar cannot go any lower. And so here comes A-Rod, right? He couldn't mess this up, right? Well, we'll see about that. Right? At worst, you figure he'll maintain the status quo of incompetence. And this fits his reputation that precedes him, right? Modern day robber baron, A-Rod. Now, I don't know how much of this is true and how much of it is not true, but I have read several stories over the years that A-Rod, in his business dealings, has been called, among other things, a slumlord and a scumbag. Those words tossed out, those adjectives tossed out by tenants of his apartment buildings in Virginia. And the apartments he owned, I don't know if he still owns these in Virginia, were allegedly infested with rats. Who doesn't want to live among rats? And included high-end features like rotting wood. Well, that's great. You got the rats, you get the rotting wood. Sign me up. That sounds like paradise is what it sounds like to me. Which, ironically, the rats and the rotting wood is very similar to what A-Rod's going to be getting when he becomes the owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's a similar environment there in the locker room. All right, that set itself up. Now, final point here. This is a be careful what you wish for situation. Owning a professional sports team is a license to print money. Years ago in another life, I became a casual acquaintance of Scott Boras, the powerful agent who's become more and more powerful, the agent of all agents in sports. And I remember having a conversation with him years ago when they were talking about getting rid of the Minnesota Twins and the Montreal Expos. Baseball was talking about contracting two teams. There were too many teams in baseball. We're going to get rid of a couple teams. And Scott pointed out that at that time, there had never been in the modern era someone who purchased a professional sports franchise from a legacy sports league that then sold that franchise, their share of that franchise, for less money after they had owned it for a certain amount of time. And he was right then, and he's right now. Even all these years later, we've had a global pandemic, and these teams still sell for more money, a lot more money, than you paid for them originally. Right? And so you own a golden goose, or in this case, a golden Timberwolf, if you're A-Rod, and every time a team is sold, it's more and more and more and more. You can't buy real estate or stock that comes with those kind of guarantees. There's some great stock investments and there's some tremendous real estate investments, but the kind of guarantee you get when you're in the cartel of sports ownership cannot be matched. Now, the Komodo dragon in the room is A-Rod, his desire to increase the revenue and ultimately the franchise value as high as it can possibly be, maximize the franchise value. And he's got to do that because he wants to buy a baseball team, and baseball team is going to cost you more than $1.5 billion if you want to get a halfway decent baseball team. And keep in mind, A-Rod has zero ties to the Twin Cities. This becomes problematic. The big concern for the seven people who still love the Timberwolves would be A-Rod's ulterior motives. That would be the concern. Even though Glenn Taylor, the current owner, said keeping the team in Minnesota was a prerequisite for purchasing the team, that doesn't guarantee anything. Every single team that has relocated in my lifetime had an agreement to not relocate. They violated contracts to relocate. Now, the Wolves' lease with the city of Minnesota carries a $50 million penalty if it were to be broken before 2035. I'm talking about 14 years here. So what's that mean? It means you cut a check for $50 million and you're free to relocate. And there's nothing to keep A-Rod from calling in a fleet of Mayflower moving vans in the middle of the night and head west for a better life under the cover of darkness. Now, there are cities that supposedly are hot to get the NBA. Seattle, trying to get the Sonics back there and get back in the NBA game. Las Vegas has been mentioned prominently. They have a hockey team and a football team now. What about putting a team in Vegas that plays in the NBA? Vancouver, which briefly had an NBA team. The Vancouver Grizzlies back in the day, they've been tossed out in the mix. And then you have some other cities in the South, like Nashville, Tennessee has been mentioned by some, Louisville also. But the point is there's options. And if A-Rod wants to own a baseball team, he can work out a sweetheart deal with some political hacks, get the $50 million to pay off the city of Minneapolis, and then relocate, get another giant check on top of that, and then you can go out and buy the Marlins or the Mariners or Team X for Major League Baseball. Just like that, you're good to go. All right, meanwhile, I must address, we got to go to baseball because I have to address what happened in the Sunday night game. I don't know if you're watching the Sunday night game, but it was raining down trash on the field in Atlanta. D.D. Gregorius hit a three-run homer for the Fightin' Phils in a four-run fourth inning, but it was the go-ahead sack fly by D.D. Gregorius that happened later on in that game in the ninth inning that was the defining moment of this game. Alex Baum had doubled off the Braves closer, Will Smith, the Fresh Prince. And that was to start the ninth inning. So he then advanced to third on a bunt, and the Gregorius fly ball was to shallow left field. Marcell Ozuna makes the catch. He throws. The throw bounces twice, and the initial call was safe. They go to instant replay. Now, keep in mind, the run of this Alex Baum guy, he never touched home plate. He never touched home plate. They went to instant replay, and they still held the call up as a run. And it was reviewed. The call was upheld. And so the fans at the ballpark in Atlanta there started throwing all kinds of trash into the outfield. And the grounds crew's running around like Mike the Headless Chicken trying to pick up all the trash that was flying around. And this is now the second time that we have seen a controversial play that has gone to replay where they screwed it up. All right, so let us discuss briefly the question, what did you make of Alex Baum of the Phillies there being credited with the game-winning run without ever actually touching the plate for the Phillies? So I've got on-brand and camaraderie in this mini Malamog. Now, this is, first of all, it's on-brand, right? I am reminded of that Met Marlin game where Michael Conforto had a walk-off hit by pitch when he, A, didn't get out of the way of the pitch, and B, leaned in to the pitch, and he got the call. And in this case, the Phillies were given an absolute gift. Now, maybe again, just like the Mets, you say the Mets better than the Marlins in that situation, they probably would have won the game anyway. But the Phillies and Braves are about equal. They're pretty similar teams. Phillies are playing pretty well to begin the year. And you just give the Phillies a win when the guy doesn't even touch home plate. And The final point here, it does appear, based on a very small amount of research that we have done here in a very small sample size, that there is such camaraderie among the umpires and the replay people that are involved with the umpires and all that. They're all together on this, that this comradeship, there's you can't reverse a call unless it's painfully obvious. This was painfully obvious, though. So I'm trying to wrap my head around why the decision was made. And I keep going back to the point we've made many times. If you're going to have instant replay, and it's obvious to a guy eating bonbons on his couch watching the game that the runner did not touch home plate, and you supposedly have all the camera angles, the same angles that the fan at home has, you have even more than that, and you can't reverse the call. Again, just get rid of the replay then. There's a lot of people in baseball that would love to get rid of replay. They don't like the fact that replay is in the game. And judging by how replay is used in baseball, the outcome of this Phillies game, the Mets game last week, they don't even know what they're doing with replay. It's the blind leading the blind is what's going on with this replay system. It's an absolute joke. And again, this is another one of those things. You can't blame Joe West and Angel Hernandez. You know, certain umpires get blamed for everything. This is across the board. Incompetence. Dereliction of duty. By the replay class of baseball. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. We'll take your phone calls. If you'd like to be part, you can join us here at 877-99-ON-FOX. 877-996-6369. We're also available on Twitter, at Ben Maller. If you'd like to be part, that's at Ben Maller. You can join the festivities. A soggy rage. We'll get to that. We will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We are always looking to proliferate the Maller Militia, help our grassroots movement add new listeners to the Ben Maller Show, support our noble efforts by posting comments about the show on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and all other social media. You have the power to influence others to join the cult of the Ben Maller Show. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Rob in Vegas writes in, says, disgraced MLB superstar Alex Rodriguez, you say, Benjamin? I think not, Rob in Vegas says. As long as A-Rod is sharing relations with J-Lo, that mogul is goodbye me. Have you seen her shake that moneymaker? Good Lord, he says. J-Lo and Shakira. All right, Rob, first of all, calm down. Take a nice cold shower. That's number one. You need to do that, Rob. Number two, I don't even know if A-Rod and J-Lo are together. I know they claim they're still together, but the tabloids a couple weeks ago were all over that. Not that I read the tabloids every day. Mr. Luciano writes in, says, two A-plus monologues in one segment. Great job, Benjamin. I also agree with you. If they can't get it right, then just remove the instant replay altogether. There you go. Michael says, I hope A-Rod has got a good property insurance reference, as he is going to need it. Well, yeah, I've been keeping track of that, Michael. It's not a good night. Just Josh writes in from Cincinnati. Says, A-Rod acquiring the Timber Pups. First order of business, hire Spin Cycle Regina, according to Just Josh, to head the money laundering operation. All right. Late night drug test. It says, Major League Baseball knows what they are doing with replay. Finding any way to get the sports talk shows to discuss their sport the day after the Masters. There you go. Our friend Inca Terror, classically trained musician. He's performed all over the world. And he says, hey, Ben, are you sure that Torrent of Trash was not in protest of the All-Star Game being moved? He says, Manic Mike recommends that we give the umpires advice. That's a great idea. I think we'll do that next hour when we have the instant advice line. Aussie Momentum, listening live. We're not an overnight show in Australia. He says, I'm not sure why touching home base is required anyway, Ben. Baseball is a dangerous sport. You don't want any chance of contact. As we all know, bro, they're risking their lives. Yes. It's a great quote. From your San Diego Padres. Blake Smellsnell with that quote back in the day. And Chip in the Queues writes in, says, a home with rats and rotting wood is paradise only if it's free of your name, free and your name happens to be Weedman Hippie. Yeah, I don't know who that is. We think Weedman's moved on. I don't know what that means, but he's gone, and we've got to get a new punching bag for the lame jokes. What we should do later in the week is just solicit. Weedman's such a. I'm trying to think of like how we get like the next Weedman. We've had some guys call up that listen that are down on their luck and they're homeless, but they're trying to get out of that situation. Like Weedman loves being homeless and not homeless, but being poor and all that. He enjoys it. Like most people in that situation do not enjoy it. They're trying to get out of it, trying to get more money, but not him. I'll get to the soggy rage story coming up here in a minute, but to the phones we go, and let's see here. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, pick a caller by his name, not his toe, by his name. Let's say hello to Christopher in Houston. Hello, Christopher.
Hello, Houston. What's up, Ben?
Hello, Chris.
Man, look, man, we've said it before. Deshaun should have cashed them checks a long time ago for them girls, man. Now that dude just screwed up everything. This is ridiculous, Ben. This has been turned into a whole turmoil for this young man. And, you know, like I was telling some guys at the barbershop the other day, you just can't defend these guys and just think we know them. You know, shout out Kellen Winslow Jr.
Yeah, that's true. Listen, Chris, I learned that, I remember years ago, Kobe Bryant, who I was around him when he played with the Lakers, and then when that story broke in Colorado, I was like, holy crap. And Kobe, he was like, all he was worried about was playing basketball. He wasn't anything other than that. And then that story came out, I was like, oh my God, I could not believe it. I thought it was made up. I said, no way, this must be a misunderstanding.
Well, it is what it is when we deal with it at the end of the day, Ben. We're humans and we do stuff. Really, he's a guy. And Busby is an old guy and doesn't realize what social media is about. And he's young, and it's a young man's game.
Chris, though. Yeah, Deshaun Watson's doing stuff that like regular loser guys do, not, someone who's the star quarterback. You know what I'm saying? You understand where I'm coming from here, Chris?
He just basically forgot about that he was the star quarterback, and he was just around here just trying to get him a little something.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing if Joe Blow goes out and is meeting women on the internet, and you're like, okay, fine, he's not a celebrity, he's not rich and all that, but then Deshaun, he was in a position of power, and crazy.
Man, the crazy thing about this whole situation is that. Players, they're basically think they can get away with stuff like this, and it always comes back to haunt them every time, man. I feel not every time.
Listen, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of guys that get away with a lot of stuff. I've heard tales. Before social media, it was a different world. But you've heard stories about teams like the 86 Mets and teams along those lines that did all kinds of craziness and got away with it because it was a different time than it is now. But I'm sure there's still guys that are in the shadows that get away with it. More importantly, Chris, the voodoo doll that I invested in continues to pay off tremendously here. Just think a couple years ago when you were calling up and you were ranting and raving and all that, and you had the cheating Astros, who we didn't realize were cheating at the time. You had the Rockettes with James Harden, and they were a contender every year to get to the NBA Finals, or at least the Western Conference Finals. You had the Texans. You had a quarterback who was on the come, which is a poker term, but apparently it has a different meaning. But anyway, I mean, now look at you, Chris. Now look at your quarterback. You got no quarterback. Your basketball team's a joke. Your baseball team's disgraced. It's not easy for you, Chris.
Hey, at least we can make it past the second round. That's all that matters. At the end of the day, we make it past the second round, and your Clippers still suck.
Well, you might make it the second round of the lottery, possibly. One of my
favorite golfers is now on my poop list now, man. And his name is John Daly. I don't know if you've seen it, but he wanted to take his little pot shot at the Astros, too. But it's okay. We'll take the pot shot. It's all fun and games. Have you ever been blocked by a troller?
Well, I get blocked all the time. Yeah, I get blocked all the time. There's people that I don't
know. No,
why.
I'm talking about trollers. I'm talking about somebody who trolls you all the time, but as soon as the tables got turned, they wouldn't block you because you just laughed at one of their tweets. And I'm shout out to Matt in San Francisco, not Oakland.
See,
now
this is personal. Now you're taking this is a beat.
No, like,
are you talking about Matt, the Warrior Raider Ace fan? Is that
Oh yeah. He was about to jump off a bridge this weekend after that first loss with the Astros, but they came back and got two wins. But you know, he put some down to about they should start binging the Astros, and I just laughed at his tweet, and the guy blocked me for it, man.
All right. Well, you want to get? Wait. You want to get in the octagon? You didn't want to get in the octagon with Charlie. You want to get in the octagon with Matt, the Warrior Raider Ace fan.
That dude's scared. He don't even want to even get.
Well, no.
If he says
he'll get into the octagon, will you get into the octagon?
He's a troll.
All right.
He's
that's a no. You're not answering the question. You're not answering the question. I gotta go. Thank you. Go. I'm done. Thank you. Again, Chris, I gave you the opportunity here. This is not looking good on you, Chris. Come on. You're talking trash here. You can go into the octagon face-to-face, nose-to-nose, belly-to-belly, toe-to-toe, and figure it out.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Now, Ben, I know this is only going to be important to people like me who like hockey, but the NHL trade deadline comes up later today at 3 p.m. Eastern time. If you listen to Puck the World on Friday morning, I mentioned the big trade was going to be the Buffalo Sabres sending former league MVP Taylor Hall elsewhere. Well, he has landed.
Where'd he go, Eddie?
In Boston with the Bruins.
Whoa! What did the Bruins give up?
They gave up a second-round pick and a young forward. And Boston has a great first line, but they need some extra scoring, so Taylor Hall should help with that. Jeff Carter from our LA Kings won a couple of cups.
He was there when they were good.
Yeah, he was sent to the Penguins for a couple of draft picks. Probably the other...
Now, what time is the actual deadline? Is
3 p.m. Eastern time today.
3 p.m. Eastern. Okay.
Nick Foligno, the captain of the Blue Jackets, went to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Now, he's not a star player, but tough guy, tough in front of the net, gritty. They've got a lot of skill.
Gritty, that's the mascot of the Flyers.
That is. They got a lot of skill in Toronto. They needed some blue-collar guys that can do the dirty work in the playoffs. So that was a pretty good pickup, I think, for Toronto as well. We'll see if there are any other major trades coming up at the deadline.
Will you call your shot, Eddie? Will we see another major trade before the deadline, 3 o'clock Eastern?
I don't think so. No, I think
come on, Eddie. Sell it for the show, Eddie.
I know. The Taylor Hall
come
trade,
on.
That was the big one. So.
Connor McDavid's on the move. Say it right now, Eddie. Come on.
That would be shocking.
That would be a shocker, right?
That would be very,
can you
very
say
surprising.
That so we can tweet it out?
No,
sources close to Eddie Garcia report.
I'll say it.
I'm not afraid to say it.
Do it.
All right. Sources not close to the situation tell me that Connor McDavid may be on the trading block leading up to the deadline. He had some bad fettuccine Alfredo in Edmonton the other night, and he's upset about it, and he wants to trade.
Sources close to the situation?
Sources not close to the situation, tell me, Eddie.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ryan, how about this? You going to tweet that out, Ryan?
How about this, Eddie?
Yeah.
Teams are calling Edmonton about Connor McDavid. How about that?
That call would be hung up on very quickly.
Well, that's not. Who cares about that? As long as the phone call's made, that's the story right there.
There you go.
There you go. All right. Thank you, Eddie. Remember, I studied the weasel terminology. I ran a rumor website for years back in the day, and I know all the tricks of the trade on the rumor industry, the cottage industry of rumors. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. So I mentioned the soggy rage that would be coming out of Flushing, New York, where the New York Metropolitans were scheduled to play a Sunday getaway day game against their division rivals, the Miami Marlins. Some nasty weather in the tri-state area, and the Mets wanted to play the game. So they sent Marcus Stroman out to the mound, and he started the game there in a deluge in Queens, and the game lasted all of 9 pitches before the umpires said, no mas. They delayed the game. The rain delay turned into a suspended game.
Uh-oh.
And that led to the soggy rage from number 0 in your program, but number 1 in your heart, Marcus Stroman, who ranted on social media that this game should have never been started. Not smart at all, Stroman said. These conditions put everyone at risk, he ranted. Beyond happy, no players on either side were injured. The Mets pitcher said, hate that I have to wait another 5 days to pitch again. That's a miserable feeling. And then he says, let's go Mets each and every day. All right. Now, Stroman was upset that particular comment he made on social media, the part where he was ripping the team for not being smart by starting the game, went viral. And he was, of course, blaming the messenger. But he said it. He's the one that said it. And he's getting upset. Now, here's my position. First of all, I absolutely understand why the New York Mets played the game. They started the game. The team, the home team controls, the way this works, if you're new to the game or if you've forgotten, the home team controls whether or not the game starts. Once the game starts, it's in the hands of the umpires to decide whether or not there's a weather delay. So I understand why the Mets started the game because, you know, you'd have to refund everything if the game doesn't start. I'm talking about parking and all that. And because the game was started, they got to pocket all that. And so, of course, the word is greed. That is the word. They start the game. And as far as, you know, Marcus Stroman, I mean, that's embarrassing for baseball players, though. Put everyone at risk because they play. It was raining. I mean, really? The baseball players are that weak that they can't play in a little bit of rain and they're going to be injured and fall apart because of the rain? I mean, is that where we are? I guess that is where we are. That's where we've been for a long time with baseball. But it's embarrassing to say that. Does Stroman realize? Is he obtuse? Does he realize how bad that sounds for baseball players? That everyone was at risk because we had to play in the rain. My God, really? You're at risk of major injury because of the rain? All right, anyway, it is the Ben Maller Show. We'll take some more calls here. And who do we have? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Let's say hello to Joel in Seattle. What's going on, Joel?
Hey, a long-time listener. I may really be happy if A-Rod could bring the basketball team back to Seattle, and I bet you the people up here will help him move it over, you know, because we have all this money with this new stadium that they're building for the Kraken.
Yeah. So, Joel, you are okay with the people of Minnesota losing their basketball team as long as you benefit?
I need it.
You need it.
We get really depressed over here with the rain. We need something to look forward to. The Mariners actually are doing good now. You saw the game today. They're the comeback team of the year right now. So we have something to look forward to.
What are they, game over 500? I don't know if they're doing well. I mean, by Mariner standards, they're doing well.
True.
Right? By modern Mariner standards, this is one of the most exciting Mariner teams after 9 games in baseball history.
Yep.
Yeah. So, Joel,
the only thing I look forward to is football, but...
Now, Joel, are there any Timberwolves in the greater Seattle area or they'd have to change the name? They should go back to the Sonics. They should get the Sonic name back.
Yeah. The Sonics, we have, you know, a lot of fans still over here. You know, they haven't left. It's just, we remember when they left. They're hurt, but we got over it, you know.
Well, I don't think you've gotten over it at all. I think you just admitted you haven't gotten over it, and you would like to see the NBA back because you haven't gotten over it. If you got over it, you would be like, who cares? I don't care. I don't need the NBA in my life. I've moved on. But you have not moved on.
Well, what they did is they're bringing hockey over here, and there's a lot of hockey fans. I didn't know. So,
are you a hockey fan, awesome. Joel? Joel, when's the last time you watched a hockey game?
I went to the Tacoma SaberCats back in the day. It's been like 1995.
But you're not really a hockey fan. You're going to become a hockey fan, but you're not like a hockey
fan. The
only
guy I know is Wayne Gretzky. That's all I know. Or...
Yeah.
Crosby, that's all. Yeah, because we don't have hockey over here.
Well,
yeah,
Gretzky's had a great year for Edmonton this year. Have you been watching the Oilers? He's played very well for the Oilers this year.
He's retired.
Oh, is he retired? I didn't realize that. All right. All right, thank you, Joel. I got to go. Thank you, buddy. There you go. There's Joel. He says he will help move the Timberwolves to Seattle. And again, A-Rod, just to clarify, we did a monologue about this, but the story was that the owner, Glenn Taylor, said he's selling the team to A-Rod and his business partner on the condition the team stays in Minnesota. But as I pointed out, every single team in my life that is relocated, and there's been a lot of them that have moved around the country, every one of them has violated a contract in the city they were in to move. So I don't think that stops anything from happening. If A-Rod buys the team in a couple years when he gets ownership of it, and if he wants to move to Seattle or Vegas or anywhere else, it doesn't matter. They'll just cut a check for $50 million, and that's it. Wash their hands with it. All right, it's Ben Maller's show on Fox. We got Maller to the third degree. Here's the Insta trivia. Here it is. Jerry Rice and blank are the only two players since the AFL-NFL merger to be nine-time first-team All-Pros. Again, Jerry Rice and blank, the only two players since the AFL-NFL merger to be nine times first-team All-Pros. That's the Insta Trivia, the answer. And Maller to the third degree next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Most are unable to lend an ear to the Ben Maller Show all night long, but with podcasting, you can get caught up on unique show moments that you might have missed. The Ben Maller Show podcast is available on iHeart and wherever you get your podcasts. It's a piece of cake and upsets the corporate guys. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Insta trivia, Jerry Rice and blank are the only two players since the AFL-NFL merger to be nine-time first-team All-Pros. That is the Insta trivia with Maller to the third degree on tap. And the answer is coming in. Joe, Corpus Joe in San Antonio, is going with Bob Hayes as his answer. Jim Otto from Rod, the ambassador of Bakersfield. Scorpio Niner is going with Junior Seau, although he misspelled it. Mr. Nice Guy, the iconic Ray Ratto, one of my heroes in media, Ray Ratto. If he can be on TV, anyone can be on TV. Who else do we have? Just Josh in Cincinnati got this right. Clearly cheating. Bad job by him. Who else do we have? Paige down here. Antonio Gates is his answer from Ocho Texto. Bobby Lashley, the WWE champ from J-Dot. That is his selection. Justin in Cincinnati with Brian Finley is his guest. Boy, that's a good photo you found of Brian. Very accurate. Ozzy Momentum says it's reasonably sure it's Kevin Green, he says. That's from Ozzy Momentum. Ken Stabler from Rob the Goat Man. That is his answer. Tony Gwynn, Mr. Padre from Alfie Allen O'Piner. Interesting photo of him. Gardner Minshew from Jason in Rocky Mount, Virginia. Matt, the Warrior Raider A's fan, got it right. Eddie, do you have an answer, Eddie? It's not Lewis Lips, which was guessed by Rob in Minnesota.
I'm a big fan of Lewis Lips. I think it's former Falcons receiver Roddy White.
Roddy White for the win. Is that correct? No.
Not this time.
It's also not Steve Rabel, guessed by David, who knows where all the good restaurants are in Seattle. The correct answer, Anthony Munoz of the Cincinnati Bengals, number 78 in your program, but number 9, first team All-Pro status. Third degree, here we go.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
All right, last minute, Coop was scratched just before the show, and keep trying, Ryan was put into the lineup.
That's right. First off, LeVar Arrington appeared on FS1 this weekend when he made a pretty interesting claim. He said he knows it sounds crazy, but that Bill Belichick is likely on the warm seat. Ben, are you buying that?
All right, so this is a premature take by LeVar Arrington. Bill Belichick went 7-9 with Cam Newton having 8 touchdowns and half the defense quitting because of COVID. They didn't want to play. And now, if Belichick was dumped by the Patriots, he would have a gig in 90 seconds. The only thing that makes the end near is father time. Belichick, about to turn 69 years old, so he's got maybe 3 or 4 more years in him before he gets aged out, but that's the only thing that will stop him. Next!
There was a report on Saturday that Victor Oladipo is unlikely to receive anything close to a max contract when he hits free agency this season. Ben, is the era of marginal players getting max deals over?
No, of course not. I mean, we number one, we are believers that a sucker is born every minute. Victor Oladipo's agent has had, you know, he's got to find those D&D teams, the dumb and desperate teams, and he'll get an offer. And one man's trash is another man's treasure. If Tobias Harris can get a major contract out of the Sixers, then anything is possible for a guy like Victor Oladipo, who's a, you know, he's a dime a dozen type player in the NBA. It's a buyer's market for the second-rate players. That's the problem. Next!
During Rusty Harden's press conference on Friday, he said he considered letting Watson come to the presser, but ultimately decided against it as he wasn't going to let him take any questions. Do you think that was the right move, Ben?
Well, yeah, in retrospect, it was. Because, first of all, if Deshaun Watson had gone to the news conference and not taken questions, it would have made things worse, right? Why are you hiding? And then secondly, Watson would have had to have an Emmy award-winning performance to sway public opinion. Any misstep, and there would have been one, at least one, would have been highlighted and attacked. So in this case, he's getting the proper legal advice to hide because it's only going to make things worse. How do we do? Keep trying, Ryan.
I'll give you a pass, Ben. You
pass. There we go. I earned the win. Don't give me a pass. I don't want a handout. I earned the win.
Okay.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.